Alrighty, we need today, and I'm gonna see if I can make all this work, kiddos. I don't improvise very well, but we'll see. We need to finish Superstar. We're gonna see now the conclusion of Superstar, this incredible ending in which Jesus is surrounded by a resurrected Judas who gets the greatest entry in all musical comedy. And then they dance and sing about Superstar. And watch for the dancing crosses. I think it's intended. Dancing crosses. Dancing crosses. You what? All righty. And then this stunning conclusion. At the beginning of Superstar, all the cast comes to the desert site in a bus. At the end of this, they all leave on the bus except Jesus. The cross is empty. Where is Jesus? This is the most enigmatic ending in all of movie history. We turn now to the scandalous lives of Jesus. We've had dancing girls. By the way, who played Jesus in Godspell? Victor Garber. You know Victor Garber? Y'all know Victor. Does anyone know Victor Garber? What was he in? In Aliases, right? In 1979, we had another British import. Superstar was an import. This was an import. The Life of Brian. Kiddos, how many of you have seen The Life of Brian? Okay, we're not going to watch a lot of The Life of Brian just for that reason. But let's say a few words about it. We'll see a scene or two. Now, of course, the Pythons made their reputation in television, not in films. And The Life of Brian, of course, is not a life of Jesus. It's a life of Brian, poor, pathetic Brian. And it is certainly not satirical about Jesus. It's very reverential about Jesus, isn't it? Instead, it caricatures as only the remarkable Pythons can, self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Young people who also campaigned against self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Jesus, his favorite targets. And it hilariously makes fun of religious sectarianism. Are we going to be the Judean Liberation Front or what was the other one? I don't remember. The People's whatever. Which one are we going to be? It also makes fun of the way in which religions take shape and build their myths. Remember the sandal? It's his foot. It's his shoe as they worship the sandal. And for our purposes, it's important also because it's a satire of the cinematic lives of Jesus tradition itself. It's a beautiful sapphire. And in the first thing we're going to see, it nails it perfectly. Young people, the beginning of Life of Brian, the nativity scene, is almost a perfect reproduction of the beginning of some of the Jesus movies with the very sanctimonious Christmas music. The slow pace that we saw in the slowest story ever told. So we're going to see the most wonderful Virgin Mary in the tradition. What I'm talking about, okay? I mean, this is just, you have to listen very carefully to get all the words, but it's just hilarious. These are the best wise men ever. I mean, I think we'll see a little bit of the Sermon on the Mount. You've seen that? What is the phrase from the Sermon on the Mount that you associate with this movie? Blessed are the cheesemakers, right? Sure you've seen this movie? It's been a while. Actually, in 2004, when Passion of the Christ came out, the Pythons noticed that it was the 25th anniversary of Life of Brian. So just to keep things interesting, they did a 25th anniversary of Life of Brian. And I went to Gobi to see it, and there was a granddad, who was probably about my age, there with his grandson. And obviously, this grandfather was this old leftover hippie, and he had this little six-year-old boy with him. And they just had the biggest time with the Pythons. It was just wonderful. No one really criticized this film when it came out. There wasn't any huge outcry, in part because it wasn't about Jesus. It's not. It's not about Jesus. It's very reverential about Jesus. And the fact that they're whistling on the cross didn't really seem to upset many people. And it's also just really funny. Now, 10 years later in 1988, a movie was made that Christians did not think was funny. The Last Temptation of Christ created a huge controversy. When I went to see it here in Austin in 1988, I had to cross a Christian picket line. No problem. By 1988, the religious right had grown much more powerful than it had been in 1979. And it organized actually some very effective boycotts of the film. They were appalled at the idea of Jesus having sex with not just Mary Magdalene, but with Mary of Bethany and of her sister Martha. But you know what, young people? I think the thing that really disturbed Christians about this, conservative Christians about this, was the idea that Jesus was having to figure it out. Here is a real human being. This is the most human, flawed Jesus in the entire tradition. Someone said of Defoe's, William Defoe's performance, he didn't have any trouble figuring out, believing he was divine. He had trouble figuring out that he was human because he's so awful in so many ways. But this man has to figure out, as a flawed human being, that he is the Son of God. It is, of course, based on Nikos Kazantzakis' great novel of the 1950s of the same name. The movie focuses on the question about Jesus that had so engaged the first century Christians, the relationship between Jesus' humanity and his divinity, or, as the film puts it, the relationship between the flesh and the spirit. Yes. The Last Temptation of Christ by Nikos Kazantzakis. Folks, we'll get this, all this spelling when we get our deal back. Mr. K. We need to go on. It was directed by Martin Scorsese, who is a very serious but rather liberal Catholic layman. His Jesus, played by William Defoe, is all too human. He's all flesh. He is a very weak, almost pathetic man. He collaborates with the Jews. He builds their crosses. His friend Judas tries to force him to give it up and to be a man and to join the rebellion against the Jews, against the Romans, with Judas. Judas and Jesus in this film have a very, very intense relationship. Jesus has a very minimal relationship with his mother Mary, but he has a very complex one with Mary Magdalene, who is a whore who had, as a young girl, been his best friend, and who obviously still loves him. But she also hates him because he has rejected her for what he calls his voices. He hears voices that torture and torment him. They're telling him that he's special. He doesn't want to be special. He begins to call his disciples. These disciples are remarkably thick-headed young men, especially Peter. The most important of them is Judas, played by Harvey Keitel. As I've said, he is remarkably close to Jesus. At one point they sleep in each other's arms. I'm not quite sure it is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus goes into the desert and there undergoes some very remarkable and strange temptations, which he overcomes. He returns then and performs for the disciples a remarkable miracle that involves his heart. You will know when this happens. He saves the Magdalene from being stoned and she becomes his disciple. The interchange with the people who are stoning her leads to the funniest line in the tradition. You will hear it. It involves a woman named Judith. He tries to go to the temple and cleanse it and rouse his followers. It doesn't happen. He fails miserably. And he finally admits to himself that he has to die to save people from their sins. And he finally persuades Judas that he must betray him so he can die. By the way, it follows the Gospel of Judas right there. On the cross, Jesus has an out-of-body experience. He has a dream. An angel, a little girl who is really the devil, tells him that God believes he suffered enough and he doesn't have to die. He was wrong. You don't have to die. Little girl. She takes him down from the cross. He leads a normal life. Leading a normal life with a woman had been his last temptation, his most persistent temptation, and here it is. He yields to it. He marries the Magdalene. She gets pregnant. When the devil kills her, he then has children at the insistence of the little girl with both Mary of Bethany and Martha, her sister. At one point, the family, all of them, three or four kids, and the two women and Jesus, go on a family outing, and they hear a preacher. Guess who he is? Paul. They hear Paul preaching. Listen very carefully. They have a fascinating argument. Listen to it very carefully. The movie ends, or begins to end, with a very old Jesus lying on a mat, dying. A very old and a very angry Judas comes storming in and berates him for not living up to his part of the bargain. Jesus says, oh no, the little girl told me I didn't have to die. And Judas exposes the little girl as Satan. Jesus gets off his bed and makes his way back to the cross and there embraces his identity and he dies. The weird lightning at the end of this movie may signify the resurrection.